You're listening to the program Saskia Unreserved on Rick Classic.
The launch of our new pilot. Well, this is not the launch, the pilot episode of the new program, Cyprus on Point, which is going to be taking place each Tuesday, beginning in September. But we wanted to say that we had started it. The idea is there, the concept is there, and we're ready to go. And I say we because I'm so very lucky to have in the studio with me the political analyst and international relation specialist, because although it's Cyprus, our little island, of course, does have a ripple effect on other places around the world. And whatever happens around the world also has an effect on Cyprus. So we are also live from the page Saskia Unreserved or Saskia Constantino. You can find it in both ways. So the whole idea of that, as always, is that you become more active citizens. And if you're sitting in the office and you can actually listen to the program and type in a question, or you have something that you're really passionate about and you want to agree or disagree with our analysts, then you can say so and put your point of view, because that's what we really want. So my special guests, Efik Santho and Costa Constanti, thank you so much for being here in the program.
Thank you so much for having us.
Thank you.
So we couldn't not begin today's program with the 9th of June and psephology, which is actually the study of elections and voting. I don't know if you knew that word. I didn't.
I know what it means because it derives from a Greek word. But I had no idea somebody had actually coined it.
Yes.
Oh my God, it sounds so weird, right?
I'm wondering if it sounds like psephtigo.
It does.
Very much so. And I'm wondering if psephology could have actually predicted what was going to happen in Cyprus on the 9th of June.
Did you predict anything like this?
I predicted part of the results, but not all of the results. I didn't expect it to be as extreme as it was.
It was. It really was extreme. And I'm thinking, what does that say about the Cypriot voter?
Oh, God, I think that we're going to be analyzing this for a very long time. I mean, I've been following up a lot of the programs right now, and all the people that are professionals with the whole ballots, with the Gallups, with everything, they didn't expect, first of all, Fidias to go towards those kind of percentages. I remember Mr. Nasos Orinos actually yesterday saying with Katerina Iliadi on Politis Radio, with Skevi Stavro on Politis Radio, he was actually explaining how in the last 1 week it became so extraordinary, the phenomenon itself, and how there was an exponential increase of votes towards Fidias Panayiotou. And I think that the reason that we're going to be analyzing it is because there are so many various reasons that people are displaying about why they voted for this guy, and how possibly the attacks that he was receiving during the last 2 weeks of the election might have actually boosted his profile for all the...
Without a doubt.
For other reasons, non-political reasons, not for his politics, not for what he was saying, but because everybody else was attacking him. I mean, did you get that? Did you see it through the process?
You just actually said attacking what he was saying. What was he saying?
Exactly.
He wasn't really saying anything. That's what I think was brilliant about the whole thing, because, the way I see it, Cypriots are absolutely fed up. I mean, we had the Ganipkion movement some time ago. I mean, Cypriots are fed up in general with the political parties, with the mainstream parties. In the past, we saw protest votes going towards the far right, Elam. Mm-hmm. Before Elam, we were seeing votes going...
And now we've seen an increase of 2.9%.
Correct. But now the percentage that Fidias got could very easily have gone to Elam in a protest vote. Mm. I think a lot of people chose to vote for Fidias because he wasn't Elam per se. Mm-hmm. A lot of people are like, look, I want to protest against Agel, Visi, Viko, Edek, Ikoloi. They want to vote against them. But then at the same time, they don't want to go down the neo-Nazi path, is what they perceive Elam to be. So they went with the Fidias YouTuber character.
Just for anybody who might be tuned in and not know, Fidias Panayiotou is a 24-year-old YouTuber, proudly apolitical, and now one of six who will be representing Cyprus in the EU with a nice salary of 10,000 euros a month, plus many perks to do so. I'm wondering...
Well, with also the... there are contingents on that sum, because he has to actually employ people with that amount. It's not just a full wage towards himself.
Well, no, the 10,000, if I understand, is the salary. Then on top of that, yes, there's another 4,000 to 10,000 which goes towards staffing.
I have the impression that he actually has to employ people with the 10,000.
No,
4,600 euros...
is the salary. Oh,
yeah.
For the employees. Then.
Yes. So it
I think it's setting up offices. They have to set up offices in Cyprus and stuff like that. But either way, the point is that, yes, suddenly a person that is very proud for not going to any university, for saying that he barely made it out of school, that he wasn't really good in school, and that's why he's like, he's putting it forward that he wants to rejuvenize education in Cyprus and whatever. So, oh yeah, you're right. So it's a gross salary of approximately 10,000 euros. So maybe like 700, 500 or something like that. Well, either way, the point is that a person that is proud for being apolitical, proud for not actually, you know, working, knows nothing about the European Parliament, knows nothing about what exactly he's going to be doing there.
By his own admission.
What he was saying. But he's saying that I'm ready to learn. I'm ready. You know, every knowledge is at the, you know, it's just at the end of a button, and you don't need to have knowledge beforehand. You can find anything you want on the internet.
Look,
so this is going to be fascinating.
There is some truth to that. To play devil's advocate now, there is some truth to that, because I can tell you now that a lot of the politicians that are elected aren't exactly
so
the brightest.
True.
I'm not the brightest tools in the shed, and could not care less about high policy and whatnot.
Yes.
What I'd like to see, Fidias has gotten in now. It's a fact.
Yes.
I have to be honest that I wasn't tracking him from an early stage. Sorry, he did catch me out at left field, so I was a bit sort of stunned myself. But what I do want to see is that he's a young 24-year-old that's got a following. If he wants to do good for the world, if he wants to do good for the youth that follow him, then he's going to have to step up and do it. Now, whether he's going to be up to the challenge of high policy, I'm not going to be ageist. I mean, a 24-year-old can be just as intelligent as a 60-year-old.
Oh.
And I sincerely hope he's up for the challenge. But yeah, he's got a six of Cyprus on his back right now, as do all the other MEPs. And like, we have two, Lucas Fourlas and
Haji Bandela
from DC. And then we've also got
Giorgio Riu from Akel.
Yeah, so George and Lucas are the two that are returning. The others are
three. And Kostas Mavridis from Vico is
correct,
also returning.
Correct. So, yep, I stand corrected.
Yes. So we have three that are recurring MEPs, and we have three new people.
Yes.
So the one new person is Haji Bandela from DC. Then you got Yadis Giadis from the far right Elam. And then you got Fidias. And I'm saying Fidias last just because he's not a political party. Obviously, if we were going with a protocol, we should be naming him as third.
It was 19 something percent.
And at the end of the day, I think that what I find fascinating is the fact that this whole situation is going to be very interesting, because nobody actually has talked about the fact that the European Parliament, at least up to now, has had a ban on the far-right parties. And none of the other political groups, except for the two far-right, obviously, between themselves, the other political groups have no interaction with them. They don't vote for the same things. They refuse to be on common papers. There is a big, effort towards not normalizing the far-right. Now, I'm not sure how that's going to change now that we had Ms. von der Leyen basically saying that she is ready to cooperate with AfD. We might see a deputy president of the parliament, or we might see people even in the commission coming from the far right. We'll see. So there may be a change in that. But the one of the MEPs, this is already starting with a minus, because he's not going to be able to cooperate with any of the other MEPs if this policy is to continue. So then you're left with the four people that are going from, let me call them standardized parties. So, I mean, parties that have been here forever, they're a part of the political landscape. And then you've got Fidias, who is like he's saying, initially he was saying that I'm going to find another 22 people and we're going to create a political group on our own. I think that maybe he actually looked into that, or somebody decided to give him the info on that. That is not as easy as it sounds. And now he says that he's going to shop around and see which political party he thinks that he'll fit in better, and he'll work on it. I already heard Kostas Mavridis from SND party, from Viko, saying that he'll be very happy to help Fidias and bring him towards the SND group, towards working together. I haven't heard that from the other two parties.
But then you've also had Fidias yesterday publicly posting on social media his hugs and cuddles with his teacher, Lukas Fourlas, from EPP yes. party.
Yeah. So, that we might see him just entering one of the big groups, like either EPP or SND.
What I want to understand, and Fidias got the most amount of votes, we had people who collected 270 votes, and we had him collecting 71,330 yes. votes.
So he actually got more personal votes than any of the MEPs that were elected.
What does that say about the Cypriot voter? And the campaign that he did was actually a free campaign. There were no billboards, so no radio adverts, no websites.
Not exactly free, because I'm assuming that he did promote some of the stuff that he did online. But
I don't know his economic circumstances.
And he was paying people that were following him around with the videos and everything. So it's not exactly free. And I hope that he doesn't make the mistake of not actually registering every single amount that he paid in, because that's going to be
this is where he's going to have to rely on his mentors and family and friends and colleagues, because, if he does make mistakes this early on, that
I don't think that he's really aware of the various things around.
But look, what it says, coming back to your question about what it says about the Cypriot voter, if you're looking at the island of Cyprus, the Republic, has 880,000 or so people. Now, not all vote. I mean, a big chunk of them are under 18.
So, yes, and 50. We only had 50% turnout.
Yeah, so only 50% turnout of voting age registered voters.
Right,
and he still scored 71%. This is epically huge for
the
island.
71,000.
Sorry. That's what I meant. 71,000. My apologies. Yes. 71,000 votes. I mean, this is huge. I mean, I don't think anyone in the history of Cyprus has scored that many votes individually in any election.
Somebody was mentioning the votes that Kasoulidis got the first time in 2004, but I didn't get the chance to actually check
I'd
it
be
out.
Surprised if it was that much. I mean, 2004, our population was even less.
Somebody mentioned it. I'd actually like, if somebody knows that, I can write it in.
But look, I think it does say, back to what I said much earlier, the Cypriot voters are fed up.
Mm.
The youth, who really haven't had enough time in the system to be fed up, are already fed up, which is quite impressive. I mean, they've just entered the political system. They're only just turning 18, or, a few years has passed since they turned 18.
Yes, but they do have ears, and they do hear a lot of promises that don't ever filter down to them.
Yes.
And they're the ones who are going to be landed up with all these fines that we continually speak about, with EFIA from the environment and everything else. They're going to have to hold that
burden. They're the ones that are now finishing high school, finishing university, finding themselves without a job. Cyprus has a phenomenal brain drain. The kids are getting educated abroad, and they're staying abroad. They're not coming back. I can't tell you the number of youth, anyone under the age of 30, I mean, I put as youth here, not returning to the island after their studies, after they've started working abroad. And those that do come back, a lot of them are reluctant, or they've got unlucky and found a government job or a accounting job or something, and they come back. Now, this model can't last forever. Cyprus is going to have, these politicians are going to have to really come forward. There's major issues, the cost of living issues, cost of housing issues, employment issues, the environment. The young generation are so-called woke. They know about climate change. They know about the environmental destruction that's going on around them. They're very aware of corruption. They've been born into a system that's corrupt, and that's been transparent to them from day one.
Let's just say also that it's a system that basically breeds corruption, because you can't get anywhere without somebody intervening on your behalf. Correct. So it's considered to be a part of the landscape. Yep. You need to call somebody. You need to call somebody from anything, from getting a bed in a hospital towards making sure that your application is seen in a timely manner. I mean, these are the kind of systemic problems that are breeding this disenfranchising and hate.
Anger and hate, because especially the younger generation that aren't getting the chance to fill the seats that the older generation have in all the in the government sector and in the political sector and whatnot. So they're lashing out.
Yeah.
And it shows by the statistics of who voted for Fidias, it was overwhelmingly the younger generation. That says something.
Mm. Although there were people from all generations, which also of course, says yeah. something.
Well, I mean, like, I mean,
you can't just say it's young people that were just registered to vote.
He made a huge impact on Katerina Haralambos' program,
Ilianis.
Abomera Semera.
Oh. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And he went out there and he said very straight out, all those yayades and papudes, you don't know me, you know, as if this is the public who are watching Rick, you don't know me, but I want you to vote for me because I'm going to make a change. And I have to say, it made
it struck a
huge impact, and mm-hmm. I thought he was authentic. And I think that maybe this is what attracted so many people to him. He was authentic. He was raw.
Yeah. And well,
look, I think after the last...
He didn't hold anything back.
But we saw
he didn't
also,
have anything to hold back anyway.
We saw with the previous presidential elections as well. I mean, the CND, their girl candidates didn't win. Yes. It was a so-called independent. You know what I mean? Like,
we saw how that went.
We've seen how that... And I think there's a lot of people that are disenfranchised by... the president at
yeah,
the moment.
But then they chose a very similar situation.
Well.
To my understanding, to my analysis.
I think I'm going to reserve full judgment until I see him in action.
You have
and
to
I will
give him a chance. Yeah.
Oh, yeah, look, and I'm all for youth, immigrants, women, all different groups of people yeah. entering the system. And I'm really happy to see a young kid joining. I have to say, I'm reserving judgment because some of the things I've seen so far, I can't say are my cup of tea. But
no, jumping on yeah. trains, you know,
you're
and not
so
paying doesn't really hold well, does it?
Well, look, you know, and look, I'm not youth anymore,
like
unfortunately.
Like
I mean, we're
a science experiment. It's okay, but
look, and to be honest with you, okay, I'm going to say this, and I'll get in trouble for saying this, but I mean, like, you know, how much damage could one Cypriot MEP do in Europe?
Yeah, but that's not the thing, is it?
No, I agree. Yeah. But the thing is, I'm always concerned about what. What can the Cypriot MEPs do for Cyprus in Europe? And we only have 6 seats yeah. out of 700 or 900, what it is.
Yeah, but the thing is, what could have been done and isn't going to be done. It's not only about how much harm one can do, mm-hmm. it's about what the potential would have been, and you don't get any more. Look, a lot of it depends on what exactly he is going to decide to do. First of all, if he actually decides to do the job of an MEP, that's going to be very different. You're talking about a lot of lobbying that has to happen. You're going to get a lot of Cypriots that are trying to lobby things towards the EU, so they're coming in contact with the six. But you're also seeing other lobbies that are going to try and influence MEPs and their vote. Mm-hmm. He's going to end up in specific committees. I think that it's 4 committees. Mm-hmm. He is going to have an influence in that. Is it going to be a good influence or a bad influence? I think that already Cyprus has a really bad rap for various reasons, and it's very important the people that are representing you at an international level. So I'm really hoping that he can appreciate that, and hopefully, I don't know, I will use the word grow up, because I think that the things that he has been doing up to now are basically, he's been playing. It's a game, and I'm glad that it's working out for him, and I have no problem with people that are YouTubers that are doing anything that has to do with new kind of experiences, social media, innovative projects, startups, whatever. There is no problem with that. My problem is the fact that if you want to become an academic, you have to do so-and-so. If you want to become a politician, you have to do so-and-so. And suddenly,
absolutely.
We're deciding that somebody that has no experience, that says that they have no experience, and basically has never tried to do this before, has become a politician from one day to another.
I should think he's feeling quite stressed.
He probably would be. I would be if I was in his place.
Can I just say something? Yeah. This is not my quote. This is a quote I'm going to attribute to someone I saw on social media last mm-hmm. night, saying Cypriots have gotten so sick of voting for intelligent people that are criminals
mm-hmm.
that they've decided to go. And please, this is not my words. They've decided, let's vote for a moron that may not be a criminal and may deliver something. And I'm not calling him a moron. I'm just saying what they said.
Yes. Yeah.
And I thought, you know what? I think this reflects a lot of people's thinking that, you know what? We're sick of voting for the lawyers and the accountants and the doctors and the dinosaur geriatrics. Let's go for something new.
Yes.
Who's got no track history? Who's got no education under his? I'm not
Do
sure.
Do you see any parallels with the Trump election?
Yes. Oh, you just stole the next. So we've seen TV superstars like Trump being elected in the past, and probably
yes.
going to get re-elected later this year. In the past, we had Ronald Reagan.
That's
in Australia, we had
a prison sentence for his convictions.
Well, yeah. That remains to be seen. I don't know how that's going to go. But I'm calling at the moment that I think Trump may get through.
Because who's against him? Biden, with all the other problems that would bring in. Yeah. I mean, the fact that a political system like the U.S. has come to the position where basically they can't find a better candidate than a geriatric president that is already being ridiculed for being half senile most of the time
signs
for
of dementia,
his
with all due respect.
Four-year tenure right now. Mm. Is a big problem. And that is one of my issues with the Cypriot politics as well. Mm-hmm. If we're ending up, if this is the kind of people that are going to be taking up politics, so it's people that are basically popular for all the wrong reasons, mm-hmm. that are not going to be showing any sort of, you know, real work towards what they want to bring about, then we're going to have a problem. I'm not saying that the people that we have now are the best, but shouldn't we be striving for something better rather than something worse? Mm. I mean, I had this conversation yesterday with a colleague, and he was saying that I've been voting for a particular party for so many years, and the one time that I needed them, and this is like the mentality that we were talking about before, the one time that I needed them, I didn't know who to call. I had no response to my official request towards like the normal party lines. So he voted for somebody that was not going to be giving him that kind of service, if I can call it a service, in the face of Fidias. But he was like, I'm going to punish the political party that I've been supporting up to now.
Right. Yeah.
We're not really losing anything with the European elections, because anyway, it seems like a very far thing. And maybe they'll get the message, and we'll have better candidates, or we'll have better service by 2026, where we're going to have the national elections. If this is the way that we're going to be working, I think that we're going to end up having the dilemmas that America has now, or the UK has now. Because remember that we also have like the premiership and the whole situation happening in the UK.
Is the Fidias vote a protest vote?
Most definitely.
I think it's heavily influenced by protest vote. But they could have protested many other ways, but I think that was the easiest avenue. Can I just also call out the elephants in the room?
Mm-hmm.
Elephants, plural.
Mm-hmm.
The Cid did pretty well, considering. I mean, the
Cid, not as good.
Not as good, but they still did well, considering that they are the face of corruption at the moment in Cyprus. I mean, this is I'm telling you what the people are saying online, what the media is saying.
Yes.
They seem to be the face of corruption.
Mm.
They failed to elect their candidate for mayor of Nicosia.
They failed to elect their president as president.
They failed to elect their president, yet they did reasonably well in these European elections.
Oh, and yes, let's remember that they had a vice president that ended up being a candidate for MEP with the far right, and a second candidate that went from their ranks. And I don't think that people really appreciated the fact that Pavlos Ioannou has been heavily invested in this for almost all his life.
Yeah.
And he was made was it ombudsman for monetary disputes, and then he became
financial,
an MEP candidate. So they had two people going there. There was an obvious danger of having people rushing from Dissi voting towards Elam, which they probably did, but it has been kind of neglected to be commented on because of the whole Fidias situation.
Look, then that's why I want to talk about the elephants in the room, because, okay, let's put Fidias to the side for a second. That's great. The Cid did well in the European elections. They got their two seats. I think because people look at this year and go, right, they can manage European affairs. They're mature. They're professional.
Oh, no. It was simply because they had that small difference from Akel.
Yeah.
If Akel had gotten like the 1% more, it would have been this year that would have lost.
Correct.
It's very simple.
So anyway, that's the European angle. Now, when it comes to the local elections, Agel did extraordinarily well, considering.
With local elections.
They got the mayorships here and there. They got a lot of councillors on the councils, community leaders in the villages. Mm-hmm. Again, you know,
candidates that were elected as presidents of the district councils, that is going to be a very important new institution that people really don't appreciate how much it's going to be affecting their daily lives. And that is going to be something that we will be discussing a lot.
The governorships of the districts is quite an important role. And for example, you had the former mayor of Nicosia, Konstantinos Georgadzis, being elected as the governor of Nicosia district. And I think I think that also says that a lot of people saw his work as mayor and said, okay, he did a reasonable job. Let's put someone that we trust or at least has some kind of experience in the governorship.
And a comparison with his main candidate, the other candidate that Akyel chose, that to my understanding was actually very good for the job, but there wasn't the visibility. And people really didn't know or could appreciate what was going to be done or not because they didn't realize even the kind of work that will be done.
Yeah.
I'm hoping that all of them, all five of them, will actually do a pretty good job, because otherwise we're going to be in really deep trouble. There are too many new there are going to be so many new things that the new institutions will have to take up, either from government or from local authorities. So things are coming down to the district level, and things are going up to the district level. That's a lot of change. There's a lot of people that are actually going to be changing their workspace. You're going to have a lot of archives that need to be condensed into one. They've only just started with the tender towards creating the platform, the digital platform that is going to be working on it. So there's a lot of stuff that are going to be happening. So comparing basically Akyel and Lisa, which was what you were doing, we see that there are gains that DC had at the European level, but there are losses that they had at the local level, and vice versa for Akyel. So
why do you think there is this discrepancy? And in the words of a journalist, Manolis Galatsis, he said, "DC is wounded. Akyel is in intensive care.
Yes.
Vico is in a coma. Idek is in death throes.
Well,
I think it's very true.
You first.
I think it's very true. I mean, like, okay, let's go down even further. The Greens Party.
No, wait. Don't leave. There's a lot of stuff to be said there.
No. I'll leave that to you then.
I'll make a note and we'll come back to it.
Huh? I mean, like, a party that had so much phenomenal potential and had risen up in the past, but now has crashed and burned, in my view. But I want to talk about Volt. I've been incredibly impressed by a party made up of youth, made up of Greek and Turkish Cypriots, made up of men and women. Running for the first time, securing just short of 3% of the vote. This is phenomenal for an absolute newcomer with a very controversial angle. I mean, a controversial angle on, you know,
and
by communalism.
Little and to no potential of actually electing an MEP. So that says a lot. These are like hardcore.
If this was a parliamentary election, they would have got a seat without.
No, they wouldn't. They needed 3.6 to get a seat.
Is it 3.6?
Yes. Oh, okay. But if running for MEP now and getting this percentage, when people knew that you were, let's be honest, it was a lost cause. You need like, to be definitely sure you're getting a position, you need a 16%. So anything between like an 8.5 and over would have potentially given you a seat. But
that was an untenable target.
Let's just go
target.
Back to what Manoli said. How do you think that what is happening in the rooms of those political parties?
You know what? Nothing.
Now,
I will tell you, nothing, because these people never learn. Sizopoulos, Papadopoulos, Garoyan, all these guys, every single election say, oh, we're going to learn our lessons. Oh, we're going to listen to the people. Sometimes they also have to lead, okay? Like, sometimes they have to say to the people, you know what? There's some things like bi-communal, bi-zonal federation that you might not like it, but that's the only way forward.
They need to stick their necks out.
Yeah, gender equality, LGBT rights, animal rights, the environment. These people need to step up and lead, you know? They've got to stop pandering to the easy vote. And also the same for Benedikis in the Greens. They've got to stop going for the easy vote, which achieves nothing. And here is the evidence, because after it achieves nothing, it doesn't deliver the half the island that's cut off.
No.
It doesn't deliver trees on the mountains. It doesn't deliver pay, gender gap equality, okay?
But it seems that nobody cares, Costa.
No, that's not true.
That's the difference. That's why they went and voted for Fidias, because they got fed up with everyone else, the dinosaurs
believing.
In the room.
Yeah. But let's analyze this on this level, because you're right.
And how do we know what, because this was my biggest concern, you know, not as a political animal in any form, way or form. I just wanted to know, what does each person stand for? And I didn't hear clear messages.
Yes. No.
I didn't know what A, B or C was standing for in the Green Party, not in Volt, not in But not in any of the parties.
Not exactly, because we were having the discussion with a friend about how...
their approach.
No, how central the campaign was, as in the common message that was going out. The only parties that actually managed to give, like, the common message that represented all their MEPs candidate was, to our analysis, Volta and Akel. This, you had a lot of people saying different stuff. The same with Vico, didn't really have a really central campaign until like the last month, where it was trying to promote all six of them. But basically, you had Kostas Mavridis like running in the lead and everybody else in the back trying to catch up. Evek, it was incredible. I mean, you basically didn't see them candidating at all. With the Greens, it's sort of the same, because you were hearing so much static with what was going on with the Greens that you weren't actually listening to a common voice. I mean, the two main that were going on the media was Papadouris and Gola, which was not the result that happened with the votes, because second was the candidate from Papadakis from Echmi, and the third candidate was Oz, the Turkish Cypriot, which really didn't go a lot on our media either. So there's a discrepancy between the message that was going out, either from the individual MEPs or the parties, and what people perceived it to be. So it depends on who you're talking to, how they were going to perceive it.
Was this a lack of budget, FE, or...
No,
you don't need a budget. In today's world, I mean, Fidias has proven that. You don't need a budget to get messages out.
Right. It's not the old days. You don't expect to get the message.
Lazy, ignorant marketing.
Untapped, unaware of what people are thinking, unaware of what's actually happening in the households, unaware what's happening within family units or within friendship circles. I think there's an absolute disconnect between politicians and the people on the ground. Mm-hmm. I've been in Cyprus now nearly 20 years, and it's the same people in the parliament. Mm-hmm. It's the same people.
More or less.
I mean, give or take,
which
says
comes
a lot.
Back to why, I mean, my analysis towards why this went not that well with the local elections and did better with the European. This has been trying and has been going on the EU wagon from the beginning. I mean, they even took on the initiatives that were happening with the Kleridis government and the Vassiliou government, and they took it on upon themselves that they were the initiators of the EU. So they had like a...
the EU branding, let's say.
They've been working on it a lot. Also, they've been constantly promoting their alliance and affiliation with EPP and how so many of the EPP governments, the EPP politicians are in government right now. So you're creating this collaboration. And there is a message, a subconscious even message, that, you know, it's successful. It's good to have two MEPs. They're doing a good job. We're continuing that job. And anyway, Lukas Furlas on his own had a big difference in votes from the second person that had no relationship with the EU before. Yeah. And that also shows like the personal touch. So going to Akel now, it was kind of similar. You had Georgiou getting a big number of a chunk of the votes, the current MEP that has been re-elected. And then there is a discrepancy between the second person, which was Anna Theologou, which again had nothing to do with the EU before. And then Niazi comes in third. Which might have been also a repercussion of the perception that he had for the last 5 years, that he wasn't actually doing anything for Cyprus, that he was focusing only on the Turkish Cypriot community, if he was doing that. And there were all these pictures going around where he was present in meetings where they were using the TRNC, in quotation marks, flag, which is a big no-no for a representative of the Cyprus Republic, even if he is representing also, obviously, the Turkish Cypriot community. So that might also have been a reason that people didn't actually vote for Akel. But I also believe that there were a lot of people out there that would have potentially voted for Akel, but they considered that there was no way that they were going to lose their second MEP. So they were a safe bet. So they allowed themselves to vote for another political party at the EU level. They voted for Fidias for the reasons that we were explaining before. They voted for Volt because it's a new alternative party that might be going like a further step further than Akel is prepared to do. You had people that were not voting before because they had a specific idea about what the politics in Cyprus were, and especially the Cyprus problem, that are not represented from Akel, that last elections voted for Akel because of the whole Niazi situation, but now felt that it was a vote better going to a vote that could better go to Volt or one of the other candidates for whatever reason. But again, why did Akel do so well with the local elections? Because they are the main opposition party right now They are immediately in opposition from the beginning. Mm-hmm. They have shown that they are doing an opening towards society. They have brought in people that were candidates in their ballots, either for mayor, vice mayor, the municipal councils or community councils, the school councils, or for the presidents of the districts. So they have shown an opening which would have brought voters towards their ballots one way or another. And that is very clever of them. Also taking into account that a lot of the people that are now MPs with AKEL will not be running again because of their internal regulation system with their statutes. Mm-hmm. So they need new blood. They need new people that are going to be there. And I don't know if you noticed, but today in the morning at 8:30, when the MEPs were officially appointed from Mr. Elikos, then you had the political parties making their their press announcement or whatever. AKEL was very clever. They only had the one MP that was elected, Stefano, obviously the president, that was making the speech, and George Loukaidis, who is the representative of the MPs in the Cyprus Parliament. So it was only these three, and then there were like 12 young people behind them. People that are in AKEL, they are recognizable, and they were trying to send the message immediately from the first day, basically after the elections, that we are giving a chance to the youth. These are the people that got elected in the local in the local governance. These are the people that are going to be running now for 2026, and that's very clever of them, mm-hmm. that they are getting the message, and why they insisted on not letting the MPs run again that are now, because you have people that are actually doing a pretty good job and are recognizable. But AKEL is saying no, we need a change of guard. Guard change? Am I saying it wrong?
Change of guard.
Yes. Yeah. Mm. So they're going with that, and that's going to be interesting.
I was very disappointed about the gender inequality in these
disappointed
elections.
Or just another day in Cyprus?
I mean, I thought that we were really going to make some kind of change. I was very excited about the position of Melanie Stelliou, for example, who collected 10,177 votes. Her message was consistent, mm-hmm. Professional, mm-hmm. Really from the heart. And I thought if only, I don't know, what was it, that tipping factor that didn't make a few more people...
Well, you can only vote for two people on the ballot of the MPs.
We need to join the rest of the world and mm-hmm. either have horizontal voting mm-hmm. or a little bit more, because with the preferential vote within the one party mm-hmm. line, you could only put two.
Yes. But if you had horizontal, you would have been able to choose six. That's
yes.
what you were saying.
Yeah, so I mean, like, for example, let's just say somebody wanted to vote for Melanie, who was with mm-hmm. AKEL,
yes.
a stellar candidate. You know, they could have put her as a preference. You could have picked, mm-hmm. for example, let's just say you wanted to pick women.
Yes.
Maria Kola from the Greens. You could have picked
Andromachis
Sophocleos from Volt. Now,
Katerina Christofidou was on Dico, and she's a well-known, ex-journalist with views.
I don't apologize to the other great
Stavri
woman that I know.
Was very good, a very good candidate. And Lathiolog, obviously, she got a lot of votes with AKEL.
Well, yeah.
And this year, I mean, Christina Xenofondos, which is one of the youngest candidates that they had. She's a very promising person, and I think that we will be seeing her a lot more now.
I think we'll be seeing
her.
A lot
this
more of her.
That they don't lose hope, because it must be quite devastating. First of all, I admire everybody who goes into this process. Election, because it must be the most debilitating.
Well, I think it proves
process.
Their worth. Someone like Christina Xenofondos, yeah. She's proven her worth. I mean, she's come out, she's been very vocal, she's been delivering ideas and policies and whatnot, she's been reaching out to people and talking, she's engaged in dialogue. I mean, these candidates, I certainly like to say that some of them are going to be here to stay.
Yes.
And we're going to see them in the next elections, parliamentary. Mm-hmm. We'll see them probably in the next local elections.
Yeah, but you're not wrong when you said character, though. I mean, even if it was a slip of the tongue, at the end of the day, especially with the MEPs, it does come down to character. People are choosing people. There is a leeway in not choosing your traditional
authenticity.
Yes. There is a leeway in towards not choosing your political party. Which again explains why AKEL did very well with the locals, because people wanted their local representatives. They feel that there is a detachment with the EU level and that they can go for a different candidacy. But let's talk about the other parties as well. Digo, for instance. Digo had...
go to the smaller parties.
Okay. I thought that we were just going
with
the line.
You wanted to talk about the Greens. What's happened
sure.
with the Greens?
Sure, with the Greens, look, the Greens never really did well with the European elections. I'll say that. I mean, there was never...
Why? Because it's a big movement in Europe.
I know. No, what I'm saying
because
is that...
Because in Europe, they're Greens. Sorry.
You know what I've always said, Costa?
You say it, so I don't have to.
For me, green policies are the concern of every single human on the planet. It doesn't matter what your political affiliation is. So I can't understand why they're not all together.
But we also have to say, though, that, like, I mean, you look at the Sea Party, for example, have been introducing green ideas and green policies to kind
we're
of like
trying to anyway.
Yeah, to try and garner some of those votes.
A bit of washing.
Yeah, well, it's a bit of greenwashing, but to garner some of the votes away from the Green Party to the green policies of another party.
Right.
You know? So that's quite clever. Look, that's happening all over the world. And the Greens parties in other parts of the world, I'll use Australia as an example. The Greens Party in Australia is a Frankenstein. It's made up of far right wingers, far left wingers, radicals, all colours of the spectrum are present. So it's very hard to have a coherent, unified front. And I think the same's happening here in Cyprus, where we had some quite conservative people in the party, some quite open liberal people in the party, and it's fractured.
Yeah, but the thing is that now, the big problem that is happening now is that the portion, most of the people that were quite progressive within the party
have moved.
We've left. And I'll say we because obviously I was a member of that party.
So we
as
have
well.
Political fragmentation.
Mm-hmm.
We have polarization.
Yes.
Yeah.
And I just want to mention the Australian Greens are actually the first Green Party ever all over the world. They were the first.
Yep.
People think that it was the Germans, but actually the Germans were inspired by the Australian Greens.
Is there any way of uniting and moving forward? What if you had were a consultant for all the parties who've really not done well? Let's exclude Fidias.
Well, he's not a party. Well, he's an individual. No, right
individual.
Now, yes.
Let's say, what would you advise in the 3 minutes that we've got left? What would your advice be for them to move forward? What does day two see? And also to community leaders. I wanted to ask, is that actually a paid job?
Who?
Being a community
yes,
leader?
Of course. Of course.
Some people got
except
seven
votes.
Except
for the occupied communities, they actually don't receive a paycheck. There is an amount for the community activities, but not a paycheck
okay.
per se.
Some people had seven votes, five votes, I mean...
Well, you've got to remember that some villages only have 10, 20 people in them anyway.
Right.
So, yeah.
But somebody has to do the admin. So,
There too many? Were there too many on the ballot?
No. What do you mean?
Was it too complicated?
Oh, you mean like if there were three candidates and you've got only 100? Well, it could be. I mean, I don't know which example you're talking about. But there are communities.
Well, I don't want to point anybody out in particular.
Look, let me just say that the instance of Cherkess Tiflik in Limassol, where basically you had like 25 votes only. That is something that will really need to be rectified in the next elections, because there was a lobby in the parliament at the times so that they would be considered to be a part of the a consisting part of the Limassol municipality. Mm-hmm. But that basically meant that they elect a vice mayor, and you know, electing a person that is vice mayor, getting half of the paycheck of a mayor from 25 people is just it's. No.
So in conclusion then, what are you going to do as consultants? What would you advise
evolve.
Parties?
Well, yeah, they need to evolve.
That's
right,
you're
in agreement there.
Yeah. Wake up. Wake up. They have to open their eyes and see what's happening, not just in Cyprus, but the region immediately around us.
Check the trends.
How do they do that? How do they wake
up? They need to literally open their eyes, get on the social medias, get onto the mass medias, actually travel and actually meet with other countries'
politicians.
Yeah,
and stop making silly excuses about whatever happened. I mean,
yeah,
I've been
and
listening to the narrative.
As well.
No, I'm talking about the narrative. You know, they're being asked. You know, you it was a big fail for you right now. So how do you interpret this? What are you going to do about it? And everybody's making up these silly excuses, and it's not our fault. It's the voters' fault. Yeah, right.
No. It's not the voters' fault.
That is like a big no-no in any kind of marketing.
If you were great at your job, then you'd be getting elected.
Yes.
They need to wake up. They need to start realizing Cyprus is in the year 2024. Mm-hmm. It's part of the international community. We're also a multicultural country now.
Yes.
Okay? And we're a country that is divided, and it's got huge issues from from immigration issues to cost of living issues to cost of housing issues to education to the brain drain, the lack of youth, the aging population, the lack of, we've got one of the world's lowest birth rates. It seems that the environmental catastrophe happening across the island, we're at ground zero.
Yes, we are.
We're at the ground zero climate of climate change.
Climate crisis is already here.
You know, it's already in Cyprus, well and truly in Cyprus.
Were you here on Sunday?
Yes.
You were, I mean, yeah, so yeah. You had like the 42 degrees Celsius situation that suddenly turned into a hailstorm and heavy rainfall. And then, you know, the whole humidity that comes after that, because we returned to the 35, 39 degrees that would bring out all that humidity. I mean, we're turning into a tropical island and we're in danger of desertification. But I still have people that are chopping down trees that are receiving permits for chopping down trees.
Yeah, no, no. And this is the thing. The politicians have to start realizing that, okay, maybe people on an individual level.
So they have to stop being frightened, I think, is what you're
saying. They need to start leading, but actually leading correctly, not leading for their party in their pocket, but leading for the greater good of this, of the island of Cyprus and the people of Cyprus.
Yeah, and their actions to actually correspond to what their words are, because I'm hearing a lot of narrative. I mean, a lot of these people that were elected in local elections, they were all tooting their ideas for a green environment, for circular economy, for how to make everybody have a better living space or whatsoever. And then, you know, they're going to have 5 years to try and do that. And I would really like to see that happening, which, again, there is a sign of the times. I mean, a lot of the people that were not reelected, they did promise to do a lot of things that they didn't, you know, deliver. And they had 7.5 years. Many of them even like 12 and a half years because it was their second term also, and they were going for a third.
Politicians as well, the system needs to modernize drastically. We need to join the rest of the world.
We need to wrap up, and I wanted to say thank you so much to you both for being here.
Thank you for having us. Looking forward to continuing
a lot more discussions in the future, and from September, Cyprus on Point with two fabulous guests, Effie Xantho and Costa Costanti. Thank you so much.